Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Hey, Center for Spiritual Living family. This song is called Temporary Weather, and it's about what do you do when you find yourself in a place that is difficult and new. This is my new room. This is my new room, and there's no one here to help me break through, to make it all clear. Just a little pain, like a little rain on my rooftop. Thought that it would drain, but instead it stops and pools above my ribcage, bringing me down with the temperature. Making me wonder why these shifts always feel like diseases, never the cure, but hold it together. I don't know whether or not we'll make it. Change is scary, but hold it together. Maybe this weather is temporary. Maybe this weather is temporary. Maybe a change will come soon. So this is my new plan. Do the best I can with the pieces left. Steady hands, deep, deep breaths. Just a little doubt, like a little cloud on my rooftop. Thought it would fade out, but instead it comes and stays beneath my shoulder blades, bogging me up with its temperature. Making me wonder why the future always feels misty. There's nothing for sure, but hold it together. I don't know whether or not we'll make it. Change is scary, but hold it together. Maybe this weather is temporary. Maybe a change will come soon. All we need is just a little sun. On the damage done to our rooftops, we thought it'd never come, but it warms the place beneath our shoulder blades, bringing us up with its temperature. Filling us up with a sense that life can be trusted. Pain has a cure. Hold it together. I don't know whether or how we'll make it. Change is scary, but hold it together. Maybe this weather is temporary, and I know change will come soon. But all we need is to do the best we can with the pieces left. All we need is steady hands, deep, deep breaths. And all we need is to hold it together. I know a change will come soon. It's temporary. temporary weather, it's temporary weather. I know a change will come. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa virtual service, where we invite you to stay open to the possibility that there is a power for good in this universe, one that you can use not only to bring about some good in your life, but also to help create a world that works better for all. If you are visiting with us for the first time, welcome. You can find out more information about our center by visiting our newly redesigned and easy-to-navigate website at cslsr.org. For those of you who are regulars at our center, I have two important items to address with you today. The first item is about our spiritual community and what possibilities are ahead of us. So at the end of today's service, I'll be addressing our situation and talk to you about the plans our leadership and staff are contemplating for our future. So please stay tuned till the end of the service for that announcement. The other important matter I wish to address, it comes in the form of a call to action. I'm going to invite you to join me in doing some spiritual homework this week. So you may need a pen and paper to jot down your assignment if you choose to accept it. Or you can re-watch our service by going to our website and clicking on the media menu. Here's what I want to talk about. I can't tell you what politics you ought to have. That'll never work. In our spiritual community, we have the whole spectrum from left to right, from red to blue, with the associated worldviews that go with that diversity, and rightly so. However, I can share with you what our faith tradition holds to be true and what our spiritual values are, so you can consider those while you navigate through what is going on in our world. Let me begin with a statement from our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. He wrote, "It is a popular belief that those who practice our faith are people who declare that everything is perfect when everything in the human experience is far from being perfect." He reminds us this is a misconception and that we ought not to assure ourselves that wrong is right. He's talking about the objective experience that people have in society. Wrong is not right, even if a person is a metaphysician. And there are things in our society that are not right, many things. And among those things that are not right, racial inequity is one that has been held up for us to look at and come to terms with and to understand through the lens of oneness. Believing as we do in oneness, it becomes impossible for us to dismiss the experiences of those in society who are being treated unjustly. I have studied our organizational values, and here's what they say in part. We express unconditional love when observing the suffering of others. And here is the call to action. It goes on to say, and we do what we can do to give aid and to show compassion. So the question I'm asking myself, and I invite you to ask yourself the same question, is this. How can we give aid and show compassion in a way that demonstrates we have heard the cry of suffering in our world? Now the response will be different for each person. For me, and I invite you to jump in with me, it's been a process of self-education about racial inequities. A resource I use frequently is the Facebook group, What's Mine to Do? I use it to educate myself about race-based violence. It has articles in it such as 75 Things White People Can Do for Racial Justice, and another article, 5 Racist
anti-racism responses that are very common. And if you are not a Facebook user, you can visit something like the Greater Good magazine online to read about their latest article that talks about how mindfulness practices can reduce our biases. Or you can do a simple internet search using the phrase, how to be an ally, and then dig into the results. When our community was ravaged by fires the first time, we received financial support from all over the nation, because other spiritual communities in Centers for Spiritual Living, through their bond of oneness with us, when they saw our struggle, gave aid and showed compassion. And through that camaraderie, we were lifted up and we could not feel alone. Imagine with me if the other communities in Centers for Spiritual Living said to themselves, you know, we're fine. Let Santa Rosa take care of itself. It must be something they created through their thinking. It must be in their consciousness. No. Our shared values and our teaching of oneness prompt us to help and care about those, especially those who are not experiencing ease, equality, fairness, or justice. The reason why spiritual education is one of our foundational practices at the center is because we are on an ongoing journey of dismantling unhelpful worldviews that we inherit from society, from culture, from family, from religion, and then to rebuild them with helpful attitudes of mind that can assist us in revealing a world in which we live as one global community. This is especially important for those, like many of us, who worship in a predominantly white community. My intention is to not only learn about racial inequity, but to understand how my worldview and my actions and my words contribute to it. And I'm inviting you to do the same. One more thought from our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. He says, I do not think we should make such a claim to divinity that we forget we are human. In other words, he is inviting us to remember our shared humanity and to remain open to learn about the uncomfortable awareness that racially motivated violence is in our nation. In just a moment, our prayer practitioner, Kathy Reardon, will lead us in affirmative prayer, followed by today's message, which is brought to us by Reverend Joyce Dufala. And again, please stay tuned through to the end of the service for my announcement about our center during Shelter in Place. Welcome.
See you. And so simply take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, just allow yourself to become fully present. And in this present moment, feel into the connection of the oneness of light, of the source of our very being, the source of everything, everywhere, always, infinitely unfolding in light, in love, in wisdom, and in joy. Each of us is an expression of that joy, that light, and that love. It is the divine moving through us as itself, individualized. And so, knowing this, I rest in the arms of the Beloved One, that which I call divine, that which I call God. I find my sanctuary here, and my truth here, and my center here. Anything unlike this perfection simply falls away in the light of who and how we are blessed, whole, perfect, abundant. And so resting in that truth, I allow life to have its way with each of us, trusting and leaning in with absolute faith in our well-being and our prosperity. With a grateful heart, I release my word into the law, knowing that it is done, and it is done well, and so it is. Hello, my name is Kathy Reardon. I'm a prayer practitioner here at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa. Please read with me today's affirmation from Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision Book of Affirmations. I am a center in the divine mind, a point of God consciousness, life, truth, and action. My affairs are divinely guided and guarded into right action, into correct results. Everything I do, say, or think is stimulated by the truth. And so it is.
Hey, CSL Santa Rosa, this is Rafe Perlman, and I'm currently in a tree, a mango tree, on the Big Island of Hawaii. This is my mother's tree, and I'm going to sing a song for you called The Greater Self.
Help me to
I am the tree of life. Oh, yes, I am. I am a tree of life. Oh, yes.
Have you ever had a really good idea, but then for whatever reason didn't actually do anything about it, only to find out that somebody else took that same idea and brought it into the world? I've had experiences like that. There's been times when I wanted to say something and then I thought, oh, well, it's not that interesting. But then somebody else says it and everybody thinks they're brilliant. I had an idea for a book, and for whatever reason, I didn't do it. I don't know if I was thinking that I didn't have the smarts or I didn't have the time. About 2 years later, I walked into a bookstore, and there it was, the book I was supposed to write, but somebody else did. I wonder what it is that stops us sometimes from moving forward on our creative ideas. Perhaps it's lack of self-confidence, a belief that there's not enough time, not enough money. Maybe it's a fear that we'll be judged by other people. This month at the Center for Spiritual Living, we've been looking at ways to become more clear on our soul's purpose. And on this final Sunday of the month, we are considering the question, how would I show up if I truly believed? Well, for the past few days, I've been sort of looking for evidence of the connection between what people believe and how they show up in the world. So for one thing, I've been watching a PBS series called Poldark, and I noticed that the way the hero, Ross Poldark, shows up in the world really reflects his deep belief that it is so important to help other people. Meanwhile, the anti-hero shows up in a way that shows that he believes in the importance of gaining personal power. Recently, I dropped an older glass plate in the kitchen, and it was not shatterproof. It sort of went into a million little pieces. And we cleaned it up, and we cleaned it up again, and still were a little cautious about being in the kitchen. But I noticed today that the way I was showing up in the kitchen was in bare feet, which meant that I now have become convinced that it's safe, that we did in fact get every little teeny tiny piece of glass. I also noticed these past few days that have been hot in Sonoma County, been walking around with a kind of affirmation in my head, not a good one. It goes like this, I wilt in the heat, I wilt in the heat. And when I caught it, I decided to try a different belief. I tried to say to myself, I thrive in the heat. And lo and behold, this has gotten me more comfortably and energetically through a very hot day. So these are some everyday examples of how our beliefs shape how we show up in the world. Let's turn now to the spiritual philosophy that we study at the Center for Spiritual Living, Ernest Holmes's Science of Mind and Spirit. We're going to look at a couple very basic ideas of homes and see how we would show up if we really believe them. So let's start really basic. How about that phrase that he said, there is a power for good in the universe and you can use it? Or taking it out of the you, there's a power for good in the universe and we all can use it. Because Holmes was very clear that this power is neutral, it's available to everybody, it doesn't have favorites. It's there for us to use for whatever we want to do with it. One of his favorite teaching examples when speaking about this spiritual power was to talk about electricity and how electricity is a neutral force that we can use. If we want to make some toast or keep our food cold or turn on a fan. Holmes also pointed out that with electricity, it's easier, it seems, for us to have faith in that physical power. And isn't that true? I mean, don't we just walk into a room and flip on the switch and keep going like we know that light's going to come on? I don't think I've ever seen anybody turn the switch and then stand there hoping and praying and wondering if the light was going to come on, if the electricity was really going to work. Of course not. We know when we flip that switch that that electricity is going to do what it's there to do. This was Holmes's way of encouraging us to get to the point where we really believe, where we know absolutely that we can harness this spiritual power for our good and for other people's good. So, how would we show up if we really knew in every fiber of our being that there's a power for good in the universe and we can use it? Well, I think I'd be much less worried when a problem came up because I would absolutely know that the answer existed. I also think if I got a creative idea, I'd be much more likely to move, to take it into action, knowing that that spiritual power would, through my belief, my intention, my attention, my gratitude, that spiritual power would bring it into the world through me. I had the good fortune to meet a man who had such a faith. His name is Joe Meisner. He's a veteran. And about 20 years ago, he was suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Sometimes it would be so debilitating that he couldn't function. And the only way he found to get himself to function was to massage his temples. It worked every time, but he wondered if there was a way that it could be easier because he noticed that when he was massaging his temples, he was relaxing his forehead, but tensing up other parts of his body. This led him to a years-long process of studying neurology, anatomy, acupressure, experimenting with different designs and different materials. And along the way, this passion took all of his money, everything, his house, a couple of key relationships. But fast forward to today, and Joe Meisner's easy-to-use temple massager is available. It's available to people like me. It's available to veterans. It's being used at Walter Reed Military Hospital, and the Air Force just put in an order for several thousand. So for me, Joe is a great inspirational example of the spiritual truth that there is a power for good in the universe, and we can use it for our own good and the good of others. Yes, it takes commitment, belief, dedication. But Joe did it. Here's another thing that Ernest Holmes believed. He said that we live in a universe that is for us. Isn't that good news? We don't live in a universe, we don't live a life that is against us. We live in a universe that is for us. And boy, was I glad to hear that when I first came to the Center for Spiritual Living, because I was living in a world that I thought was maybe not out to get me, but certainly was putting up stumbling blocks. I lived in a world where it seemed where other people who were lucky had it smooth and easy, but I was struggling. Slowly, I began to believe this statement that we live in a universe that is for us. And the more I believed it, the more I noticed that I was becoming a relaxed, trusting, and confident person. I know many of you hearing this right now have had that experience, because I've seen you at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa go through it. I've watched you take on this life-affirming belief and show up more confidently and in a more relaxed way. Holmes wrote, "All nature conspires to produce the freedom of the individual." All nature conspires to produce the freedom of the individual. What a thought that is, especially during this time of limited activity and movement. All nature conspires to produce the freedom of the individual. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at my electronic devices more than I usually do, and I saw a video clip from America's Got Talent featuring a singer named Archie Williams of Louisiana. Archie spent about 37 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. And it was only recently, when the technology of DNA could be used forensically, that his innocence was proved and Archie was released from prison and went on to live his dream of being on America's Got Talent. One of the panelists asked, "How did you survive? How did you get through almost four decades in prison?" And Archie said, "I realized pretty quickly that they could imprison my body, but they could not imprison my mind." Archie used his ways in new and free ways. Perhaps you've noticed that's happening to you, something like that, as we are now experiencing limited activity. Do you notice that your mind is going places, new places that it hasn't gone before? Maybe you're thinking new thoughts, or maybe you're looking at old thoughts in a new way. You know, it's reassuring that even now, in this unknown reality we seem to be living in the world, that even now, the universe is working for us. And I think it would be a great practice for us this week to start to really pay attention at this very unique time where there seems to be deprivation, to ask ourselves the question, how is the universe working for me right now? It's a good question to ask, and in general, how do we see the growth edge in any experience? Even when there's setbacks, what good is there? What growth is there? as a young woman, I was working in a firm, and I didn't realize, but my immediate supervisor did not like my work. I was clueless until one day I got called into human resources, and the human resources director read me a list of complaints from my immediate supervisor. Well, my pride was hurt. I was kind of ashamed that I hadn't noticed. I began to doubt my take on reality, my sense of competence, even question if I was a good person. But the human resources director found me a job in that firm that was much better suited for my capabilities and my situation. And I was a much happier camper there after that. Has anything like that ever happened to you, that at first it seems like things are working against you, and then eventually you discover that all along they were working for you? So let's ask ourselves, how would we show up if we really believed the universe was for us? Maybe like my friend Valerie, who the other day tripped, and before she hit the ground, she had the thought, there's a blessing for me in this somewhere. I aspire to be like that, and I find that teaching stories help me. Here's one that comes from the Jewish tradition. It is a story set in a Polish village in the 18th century. It's the story of the scrawny cow. Once there was a poor man and his wife. They were so poor that they only owned one thing, an old scrawny cow. One day, the great rabbi, known as the Baal Shem Tov, was visiting the village with a few associates. The poor man was walking around the village and he met the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov asked the man if he and his friends could come to dinner at our man's house that evening. What an honor. The Baal Shem Tov himself. Of course, the man said yes. But when he returned home, the man and his wife realized that in order to provide a good dinner, they would need money. And the only way they could get money was by selling their scrawny cow. That thing that was the only thing that came between them and absolute poverty. Well, the Baal Shem Tov coming to dinner, of course, they sold the cow. And they used the money to provide the kind of feast that truly honored such a good man. When the Baal Shem Tov had left, the man and his wife knew that now they were truly desperate. They had nothing. The man could think of nothing to do except to go to the forest so he could be alone in prayer. And pray he did with great fervor until he heard the sound of someone moaning and went to see if he could help. He found a man lying on the ground and immediately and tenderly made him more comfortable. The man on the ground, grateful to see a kind and loving face, told the poor man of how he had lived and made a lot of money. And now that he was dying, his family didn't care about him. They only cared about getting their hands on his money. He smiled as he said that he had just now buried it all so that they could never get it. Reaching into his pocket, the dying man said he wanted to repay the poor man for his kindness. As he handed over a piece of paper, he did, in fact, die. Curious, the poor man looked at the piece of paper. It was a map to where the wealth had been buried. A year goes by, and once again, the Baal Shem Tov and his company come to visit the same village and see the once poor man and his wife in a well-built carriage, dressed in good clothes, and looking much at ease and at peace. Amazed, his companions asked the Baal Shem Tov what could possibly have happened to change the circumstances of the man and his wife so much. The Baal Shem Tov explained, "Before we came, that man and his wife made do with what they had, and they never thought they could have more. They just hung on to that scrawny old cow. We helped them get rid of that scrawny cow so that they could be open to receive something greater. Do you have a scrawny cow that's holding you back from your greater good? Or perhaps you may even now see that the universe is helping you. Release that scrawny cow so that you can show up as the magnificent, loving, blessing, light-filled being that you truly are." In closing today, I offer a few words for contemplation. It's Ernest Holmes. The words come from Living the Science of Mind, page 258. So, in the spirit of contemplation, I invite you to relax, maybe close your eyes. Just allow these words to see if any of them might find a home in you for your ongoing good. Holmes writes, "Everything that I do, say, or think is governed by divine intelligence. I am aware of my partnership with the infinite. I have confidence in myself because I have confidence in God. I am sure of myself because I am sure of God. The spirit within me knows the answer to any problem. The answer is here and now, within my own mind, because God is right where I am. I now turn from the problem to the spirit. In calm confidence, in perfect trust, and with complete peace, I let go of the problem and receive the answer. I know exactly what to do in every situation. Every idea necessary to successful living is brought to my attention. There's no obstacle to right action. I identify myself with abundance. I let go of all uncertainty. I know that what is mine will claim me, know me, rush to me. The presence of God is with me. The mind of God is my mind. Today I bestow the essence of love upon everything. This love is a healing power. There is nothing to be afraid of. God is over all, in all, and through all. God is right where I am. I am at peace with the world in which I live. I am at home with a divine spirit in which I am immersed." So I invite you, if your eyes were closed, to gently bring them open so that together, as a spiritual community, we can say, "And so it is."
Thank you, Reverend Joyce DeFalla. And now it is time for our offering. Thank you very much to everyone who is sending in their donations through checks to our physical address. We pick them up from there, and we love receiving the wonderful messages of encouragement that come with the donations. And thank you also to those people who are donating online. It's very easy to do so. You go to our website, cslsr.org, and click on Donate, and you'll be taken to our donation portal. Thank you so much for supporting your Center for Spiritual Living.
What would I do if I knew I could not fail? If I believed, would the wind always fill up my sail? How far could I go? What could I achieve? Trusting the hero in me. If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge, where fools and dreamers dare to tread. Never lose faith, even when losing my way. What step would I take today if I were brave? What would I do today? If I were brave, what would I do today? If I were brave, what would I do today? If I were brave, what would I do today? If I were brave, what if we're all meant to do what we secretly dream? Anything like the mighty oak sleeps in the heart of a seed. Are there miracles in you and me? If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge, where fools and dreamers dare to tread. Even when losing my way, what steps would I take today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I do today if I were brave? What would I today, if I were brave, what would I do today, if I were brave? If I refuse to listen to the voice of fear, would the voice of courage whisper today, if I were brave.
everybody. It's Chris.
And Meg.
Cervaney, coming at you live from Pittsburgh. And now it's time for our community announcements. Everything that we're about to tell you can be found on our newly designed website at www.cslsr.org. Are you a lifelong learner? I know I am. And our upcoming spiritual classes are going to be fantastic. At the Center for Spiritual Living, spiritual study is one of our favorite things to do. We believe in learning and growing our understanding of the spiritual world. Beyond Limits. Oh, this is a good one. This is where you can explore the invisible limits we pick up without even knowing it. The Power of Meditation, which is especially good during our shelter in place, where many of us are finally finding the time to get our meditation practice on. And check out William James and the Stream of Consciousness.
We have something new for you. Small facilitated discussion groups. We call them circles for spiritual connection. The groups were going to take place in private homes. Instead, they'll happen in private Zoom calls. Registration closes this Wednesday, June 3rd. Tonight is the World Peace Meditation. And because we are meditating on world peace, there will be no Sunday evening conversation. After the World Peace Meditation, there will be sharing intentions and prayers. Where do you find out more information? On our website, of course. It's easy to navigate, good to look at, and packed with information and inspiration. Also, lunchtime learning is when you get your lunch ready, tune into Zoom, and learn something new. And it's free. A new series starts this week with the book, The Eye of the Storm, Embracing Conflict, Creating Peace by Gary Simmons. Lunchtime learning is from noon to 1 p.m. and is facilitated by the ministerial intern, Lawrence Edwards, practitioner Lily Escovedo, and practitioner intern, Krista McCady.
Our youth and family program continues on Zoom. For more information and resources for your family while streaming or sheltering in place, please contact Susan Robinson, our Youth and Family Ministry Director. Did you know that you can get confidential one-on-one affirmative prayer right after this service? You can. Practitioners have set up a virtual prayer chapel. We call it the Virtual Gritton Chapel to remind us of our physical space that we will one day be returning to. The way it works is pretty simple. You just leave this online service app and go to the link specially made for the Gritton Chapel. Just go to the website. It's right on there. Click it, and you can go into the Gritton Chapel. Trained prayer practitioners are standing by to talk you through whatever is going on in your life. Thank you for being part of our spiritual community.
Namaste.
Hello, I'm Betty Smith, and I'm here to tell you about a class I'm teaching starting June 15th called The Power of Meditation. I invite you to join me to deepen your practice and come away feeling peaceful and centered after each class. In this 5-week series, we dive deep into this ancient form of spiritual practice. I'm really grateful that we have a way to continue classes and stay connected through amazing technology. In this class, we get real. Meditation is a great tool to have and to use, but there is also that reality of making it work day after day. Being in a group helps provide that structured time that a successful spiritual practice requires. We will use Dr. Edwards' book, The Power of Meditation, that was published a few years ago, a book that some of you may already have on your bookshelf. Here's a quote from that book. Meditation is a practice of being available to something within you, something greater than your intellect alone. What if taking this class deepened or enhanced your daily practice? What if taking the class leads to new and surprising connections with others? And what if you were able to create a safe refuge for self-care in this stressful world? Now more than ever, is this class calling you?
Hello, my name is Nancy Reynolds. I'm the current vice president of the center's board of trustees. And I would just like to say hello to everyone and to thank you for being here. Throughout this whole shelter in place, my one question that I've had is, how is everyone? Are you doing okay? See, when we're in the center, we can look each other in the eye and ask that question. But it's a little bit more challenging when we're meeting up on Zoom. So Sunday mornings really have become the anchor in my week. And I love showing up here. And I also love that more than 500 people are watching the service each week. They're coming in on Zoom and they're coming in on Facebook and they're coming from around the country as well as our own Santa Rosa community. And the thing that tells me is that these services make a difference and you make a difference. Your presence here, your financial support of the center, the notes that you send in the mail and the comments that you make on Facebook and the comments that you make in the chat function on Zoom. Did you know there's a chat function in Zoom? You can click on the chat button and send in questions. For us, there's a small band of people behind the scenes who are answering questions and posting notifications. And you can ask us a question and we'll answer you. And we'll also see you. It really means a lot that you're here. And I just want to thank you for your ongoing support of the center. You are our community. And it's our community that makes us strong. And it's our community that comes together when things get challenging like they are now. There's a lot of uncertainty, but we have each other and we're here together. And I just thank you for that. Thank you.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, your elected leaders and your staff and your ministers have been working in the background to evolve our community into an online virtual experience. And at the same time, we're staying informed about the County of Sonoma's health officer's orders. And throughout all, we find ourselves in a time of confusion and sadness as contradictory information is circulated on the news and in social media, as unemployment across the globe rises, causing unimaginable suffering, and mental health is strained from isolation and uncertainty. We are, after all, communal beings and not very well suited to isolation. Yet, there are some things we can be certain of right now. First, the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa is not housed in the building located at 2075 Occidental Road and never has been. It lives in the hearts of the community, wherever they are located. And it always will, whenever we gather. And whatever the method we use is to gather. You are the Center for Spiritual Living, and it will live in you for as long as you freely identify yourself as a practicing metaphysician. The second thing we can be sure of is this, that we are made by the divine, not with a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Our teaching urges us to be still and to consult with that spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Our values of love and compassion guide us to apply our creative mind to the good of all and to envision the best possible outcome for all. And that is what we are doing. So, regardless of personal politics or points of view, the building located at 2075 Occidental Road will continue to be closed during this shelter in place, while leadership monitors and assesses and reassesses our situation. We do not know with any degree of certainty what the situation will be month to month. What we do know is that our analysis of our facility and our volunteers, it indicates that we do not have the capacity right now to provide both online and in-person services. And we want to be confident that when the time comes to reopen, that we can do so safely in a way that considers our most vulnerable in our community. Until that time, then, the Center for Spiritual Living will continue to be as it always has been, dynamic, healthy, and inspiring, online and in your heart. Someone asked me what our focus would be now that we are sheltering in place, and I answered that it will continue to be what it always has been, to provide spiritual tools for personal and global transformation through the teaching and practices of Science of Mind. We will be creatively expanding that focus more and more to build more community online, to stay connected online, to learn and study online, to discuss, grieve, share, and celebrate online. And if we grow weary of online activities, well, we'll sit in contemplation to regenerate by dipping into that deep well of the divine until we are ready to commune again. It is our way. We will not be hypnotized by chaotic conditions. It's true, our center is not a building. It's what goes on inside that building that is so important to many of us. We miss the people, the energy, the atmosphere in the place we love so much. For that reason, I am so immensely grateful for our virtual services, our classes and activities, and the dozens of individuals and teams who are doing amazing work in the background, keeping us connected and on our spiritual path with all their love and support. Your trustees and your stewards and your staff and ministers and leadership, they'll continue to plan for our community based on the confidence they have in the future. And that confidence is based on one single fact. You. I urge you to visit our newly redesigned and easy to navigate website, cslsr.org, where we commit to continue to post and update information about our plans and about how you can remain in contact, how you can study and pray and get spiritual support and serve together. Thank you for listening, and my blessings to you. Know with me that you are never alone, that spirit is right where you are, that you have only to look within at any moment to know that you are guided, sustained, and empowered by a presence that expresses its love and creativity in this world through your love and creativity. In deepest gratitude, let us live our lives accordingly, so that in everything that we do and say and think, we honor this presence within. And so it is.